Good morning. Good morning. All right, welcome to the second hour of the program. I'm Chris McCarthy of the audience. I've been getting a lot of requests lately, on air and off air, for a little more Fair Haven discussion, a little more Fair Haven news. I'm certainly amenable to that. Fair Haven's a great town. It's where we're sitting, where I'm sitting right now, right here in the studio, based right out of Fair Haven, and I really enjoy this town. I love this town. And so, in an effort to meet the requests of my audience, we're going to do a little Fair Haven conversation this morning. And I think the New Bedford Light does a great job. You know how I feel about the New Bedford Light. I always agree with them, but that's not really a standard, is it, right? You don't have to always agree with an organization to recognize they do good work, really good work. And there is an article currently available at New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org, covering a very controversial subject here in the town of Fair Haven. So Grace Ferguson wrote it. I think it's a really good article. I'm going to play a little bit of it, having the robot read a little bit of the article, which is better than me. And but I encourage you to go to newbedfordlight.org. Maybe they'll change it to fairhavenlight.org. But currently it's the newbedfordlight.org, and they cover the entire region, and they do a good job. And they have really skilled journalists who can really get into issues, right, with the details, which is what you have to do, particularly when you're talking about zoning. Zoning, which is all oriented to details, maps. It's date specific. You got to hit certain deadlines. If you don't, as we're going to learn in this article, things happen. So if you want to talk about the subdivision that was approved automatically by the courts due to missed deadlines, I know there's been sort of a pent-up demand to talk about this issue and other issues going on in the town of Fair Haven. So 508-996, here is the New Bedford Light, Grace Ferguson's article, as read by the robot.
Fair Haven launches investigation into controversial subdivision permit, by Grace Ferguson. The Fair Haven Select Board voted unanimously on Monday to authorize an external investigation into how the town allowed a 16-parcel subdivision to bypass the town's permitting process. The project, known as the Hiller Avenue and Timothy Street subdivision, is currently under construction. Developer Robert Rodriguez is building 16 homes in an 11-acre area off Sconticut Neck Road, just south of Route 6, according to submitted plans. The subdivision plans were automatically approved in August, without any formal review, because the town failed to hold a planning board hearing on the project within 135 days of the plan submission. Neighbors of the project were outraged at the town's failure. They say construction and tree removal for the project has flooded their yards with runoff. "I wholeheartedly support an external investigation," said Select Board member Natalie Mello. "I think that's what the townspeople expect and deserve." Town Administrator Keith Hickey, who was hired in July and began working for the town in October, said the town is embarrassed. "I want to apologize for town staff not doing what should have been done," he said at Monday's meeting. "The lion's share of responsibility appears to be on town planning department staff, not the planning board," Hickey said. The select board's vote on Monday night authorizes Hickey to enter the town into a contract with an external investigator who will be tasked with determining the sequence of events that allowed for the project's automatic approval. "The estimated cost of the investigation is $6,000, Hickey said, though he expected the cost could be as high as $10,000. The town could use money already set aside in a $25,000 fund for legal costs relating to the subdivision, or from another town reserve account," he said. Hickey said he couldn't provide an estimate for the length of the investigation. Officials said the investigation couldn't be done internally. Hickey couldn't do the investigation because he needed to be focused on the town's budget, which faces a multi-million dollar deficit, select board members said. We cannot distract him from that right now, select board chair Charles Murphy said. The town's lawyers also couldn't do the investigation because they were involved in the planning discussions and may have made a mistake, Hickey said. Select board member Andrew Romano said he wanted to be sure the final report could be released to the public. Hickey responded that even if some personnel information had to be redacted, he expected that the report could be made public and would provide a clear enough picture of what went wrong. Why the select board authorized the probe. The planning board voted unanimously to request the probe near midnight the evening of November 18. The vote came at the end of a tense 5-hour meeting, including an hour of executive session where the board met with the town's lawyer in private.
All right, so that is the first half of the article. You can read more about it at newbedfordlight.org. I think it's a fascinating article because it's a fascinating subject here in the town of Fairhaven. But it's not just Fairhaven, all over the region. As you're trying to meet the demand for more housing, and there obviously is a lot of money in building housing, you have these boards that are tasked with overseeing this, and there are deadlines, and there's a lot of money involved. And there's a lot in that article by Grace Ferguson, right? I mean, she focusing on Fairhaven, I think, is very important. We have the Neighborhood News. I think they do a great job. It's a one-person operation. Beth does a great job. You don't always agree with her. She doesn't always agree with me. That's, again, like not a standard, right? But I am encouraged by the fact that the New Bedford Light is looking at Fairhaven, because you can always use more sunshine, so to speak, on what's going on in a town as Fairhaven grows. We certainly are going to need more eyeballs. Does that make sense? Even if they are out of town, people looking in, right? And there's quite a bit in that article. The fact that the town of Fairhaven is facing a potential deficit of millions of dollars. So, and do you think an investigation is needed? Do you think that was a wise move by the Board of Selectmen? I don't know what else they would do, to tell you the truth. You got to learn, if you consider it a mistake, you got to learn from past mistakes or past moves. But is it worth the $10,000? Can it be done fast enough to learn from it? And, you know, I agree with Selectman Andrew Romano. You got to make the report available to the public. And that means you got to limit to some degree, as the town administrator said, what information you put in or just redact it. So anyway, 508-996-0500. Are you paying attention to this Fairhaven issue? Does it matter to you? What can you learn from it? Is an investigation needed? I would say it is. And obviously the selectmen voted that way the other night. But I want to hear from you at 508-996-0500. You know, plumbing emergencies, they don't wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, we treat every call like it's our own home. Our family-owned business has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974. Earning the trust of thousands of families with over 700 five-star reviews. We believe that customer service is a lost art, and we're here to keep it alive. Bass Ready Rooter, we may not be your first call, but we'll always be your last call. Visit bassready.com. Write that down, bassready.com, for all your plumbing emergencies. We'll be right back. Taking your calls at 508-996-0500. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. But meantime, sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you
welcome back to the program. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet? Maybe some of you have finished it. But those of you who haven't, you got to remember Carter's Clothing. Carter's Clothing has been around for 78 years. We can trust them. It's a family-owned business. We've all done business with Carter's. We trust them, family-owned. And they've been South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear for 78 years. And this Christmas, they are making gift-giving even easier. Listen to this. Carter's has the best prices on top name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Go into the store and see all the great opportunities they bring for us. Find something for everyone with over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, jackets, and vests that are perfect for the winter. There is so much at Carter's Clothing. And they make it easy for you with free parking. Pull up, go into the store, do your shopping. You don't have to worry about a parking ticket, any of that foolishness, right? None of that. Not at Carter's Clothing. Both parking, it's free at the New Bedford location and the Fall River location. Gift cards are available in any denomination. That makes shopping really easy for you, right? Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit Carter's online at cartersma.com. And the hours for the holidays, really important. Monday and Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Carter's Clothing. Friday and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's Carter's Clothing. It'll be open then. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Downtown New Bedford and Fall River, right? Carter's Clothing. Okay, let's go to the phones. Kind of open phones, but I did find the article in the New Bedford Light about the Fairhaven zoning and the development just below Route 6 off Schoneckeneck Road. Really interesting, in part because Grace Ferguson is focusing on Fairhaven. And I think the New Bedford Light is good to focus on Fairhaven. There's a lot going on over here. 508-996. But anyway, anything you want to talk about, I'm open to that. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
I was listening about that development in Fairhaven. It's going to go off Schoneckeneck.
Yes.
I believe there should be some kind of investigation, because sometimes these people who sit on these, I'm not saying, but maybe these people who sit on these boards and committees, sometimes oversights are done purposely. A lot of money involved sometimes.
There's a lot of money involved in this development. And in all developments.
It happens everywhere.
Yes.
In New Bedford, I'm sure. These people sit on these committees sometimes and boards. I'm not serving the public, in their best interest. I really wanted to say something about the boats being blown up, these drug boats.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Sure. What do you think? Good move or bad move?
Well, it's a good move.
Yeah, I agree.
But sometimes I believe that there is very powerful people and influential people in this country who want the drugs to come in. A lot of money involved. A lot of money to be made. And there is such a demand for drugs in this country. It makes you wonder sometimes why some of the people are so against the drugs coming in. Drugs were found in the White House.
Right.
Drugs were found in one of our state houses right here in Massachusetts.
Yes.
So you can't be that naive sometimes.
So what, you know, drugs are a billion-dollar business. They have been since the 1950s. And because I've watched the old documentaries on the different organized crime hearings they held at held in the congressional level, where it was all public, you know, talk about narcotics. So I think you're maybe onto something there, that there are, there's a lot of money involved. So maybe there are powerful people that we don't even realize who are actually behind the drug trade.
Of course. When there's money, a lot of money to be made, you've got to question things behind the scenes.
Yeah. No, I agree. Thanks for the call, my friend. 508-996-0500. We get a couple of things on the table. One is this, the fact that the New Bedford Light is focusing in on Fairhaven, which I think is a good development, personally. I think for their readership and for government in Fairhaven. And then give New Bedford a break, right? Give New Bedford a break for a little while. And focus a little bit on Fairhaven. And why not Dartmouth, right? Focus on Dartmouth as well. So there's an article about a development which is controversial in the sense that the neighbors don't like it. The neighbors, according to New Bedford Light, the neighbors believe they're getting water runoff and other things damage, I would imagine damage, to their properties here in Fairhaven. And the fact that the process was short-circuited because they didn't get to the hearing in time, and so the court approved it. And as my last caller mentioned, there's a level of suspicion on how that could happen. And so the Board of Selectmen, I think rightfully, have asked for an investigation for the money to put forward an investigation in conjunction with the relatively new town administrator, Mr. Hickey. So we'll be curious as to how that turns out. And I'm glad the New Bedford Light is on the story. I really am. Because I trust they'll get the facts right. I do follow Grace Ferguson's writings. I find her to be doing a good job. So then the other thing is the drug boats, right? How do you feel about that? It's being done in our name. They are trying to import drugs into the country. Well, if you believe they're trying to bring those boats in with drugs, right? Do you think that the Trump administration, because this, I believe, is part of the Democrats' argument, that they don't believe that the boats have drugs on them. And if they do, they don't believe you should kill those people. How do you feel? Me, I think the level of abuse to the American public by narcotics traffickers warrants the death penalty. When you know people, as we all do, who've been involved with addiction and with drugs, remember years ago, Newt Gingrich said, we're not serious about the war on drugs until we start to enact the death penalty for large traffickers, right? And that is what's happening. Now, there is an element missing of due process in that respect. But is it possible? Is due process possible? I don't know. 508-996-05. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's happening?
This is Mr. Freetown.
I hear you, Mr. Freetown. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good.
Okay, I got to tell you about what I know years ago.
Okay.
Okay, the drugs that were coming into New Bedford years ago were started for the Job Corps. And I used to work second shift. My father-in-law was a guard on the third shift. And I used to, every Friday night, there would be a car from New Jersey. There would be a car from New York come down and supply the kids from the Job Corps with drugs.
Really?
And I could never say anything because I was afraid my father-in-law could lose his job. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I saw what went on all the time. Every Friday night, those two cars, they were late model cars, and you know, like I say, that's what they did. They started with a Job Corps, and they had a big influence on those kids that were on the Job Corps. Now, I don't know if anybody knows this. And the other thing I want to tell you, Chris, is this. Years ago, the FBI kept their cars here in New Bedford. And my father-in-law told me, he says, I'm going to show you something, but you're never to say anything.
All right.
This is many years ago. My father-in-law is not with us anymore.
Okay.
And neither is the other, you know, the other security that he worked for. They're not here anymore. So my father-in-law says to me, there were two late model cars the FBI had. One was green and white. The other one was blue and white. And they were inside of a garage. And my father-in-law said to me, you want to see something, but you're never to tell anybody ever.
Okay.
He said, I'm going to open up the trunk and show you what's in the trunk. He opened up the trunk. I saw the shotguns, the bullets. I saw everything. And I'll never forget it. And like I say, Chris, a lot of people don't know what I know at the time. But, you know, I could never say anything because my father-in-law, I didn't want him to lose his job.
Sure. Now, but he had keys to the FBI vehicle? In other words,
the
he
FBI
had keys.
Vehicles were together in the garage.
Right.
And my father-in-law, they would come all hours of the night. They'd come at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And my father-in-law would have to open up the garage and let the FBI cars out. And I can remember one time my wife and I were in Mattapoisett. We went for ice cream on the pier.
Yeah.
And I look over, there's one of the FBI cars on the side of me. And there was two FBI men in the car, and one of them was on the phone. But they were looking for somebody to come in, you know, at the Mattapoisett pier with drugs. That's what they were looking for.
And like a boat. My wife, a boat, you mean?
I said to my wife, I know who this. I know this car right here on the side of us. And I said, they're here on this pier looking for somebody to come in on the boat to confiscate the drugs. And unbelievable. You know, Chris, I thought I would tell you what I know.
No, I appreciate that. The car from New Jersey and New York, they used to come up?
Yeah, they come down every Friday night. And they were the ones that would bring in the drugs from New York for the kids. And they got away with it for the longest time. And like I say, I just wanted to let you know what I knew.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I've known this for years, and I thought I would let you know.
Drugs have devastated.
That's how it started, really.
What year was that, roughly? Do you remember?
Oh, that's the early 70s.
Early 70s.
Well, when the Job Corps first came here, I think it was in the early 70s, as far as I remember. And like I say, those cars were two brand-new Plymouths. And you would never think they were FBI because they were green and white and they were blue and white.
But it wasn't. But you're saying it was the FBI bringing the drugs in, or no?
No. The FBI, the time we went for ice cream in Mattapoisett, we were on the pier parked.
Right.
The FBI car was parked on the side of us. And I said to my wife, I know what that car, that's the FBI guys, because I knew the car. And I said, they're here. Most likely, they're here waiting for a boat to come in, and they're going to arrest these people on the boat for bringing drugs in.
Sure.
On the pier in Mattapoisett. Yeah, and that's what I remember, and I've never forgotten it.
No, I appreciate that. That's a very interesting stuff. And this community,
like I say, Chris, all this, as far as I know, all this drugs trouble started with the Job Corps, and these people from New York, they're the ones that initiated all the problems that we had. That was the start of everything. And I don't know whether people realize it or not, it was New York to New Bedford that started everything.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I appreciate that call, my friend, Mr. Freetown. You have a great... I'm sure I'll talk to you before Christmas, but if not...
Oh, yeah, I like to talk to you about things that I know.
Yes.
And I want people to know. But like I say, these kids with the Job Corps, you know, they were trying to make a new life.
Right.
And these people come down here and try to destroy them.
And a lot of them were destroyed, let's be honest.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. So, okay.
Thank you for the call. Have a great day. Thank you. 508-996-0500 so I can get on the program. It's kind of open phones. Again, I was drawing your attention to a really interesting article about Fairhaven in the New Bedford Light by Grace Ferguson. You can check that out at newbedfordlight.org. And we got other people. It's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're talking about the boats.
Yes, sir.
That are coming up from South America.
Yes.
Well, I look at it this way. they're bringing drugs into this country. They're killing people over here, so kill them before they kill you.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do.
And if you have to go back two or three times, I don't care who's in the water. Wipe them out because they'll try again.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that.
Right.
You fight fire with fire.
Yes.
Or you fight fire with water.
Yes. Yes. No, and look, I agree with you. The drugs coming up from South America have devastated this community, the entire United States. And so it is war. And there's a lot of money in it. And you got to stop it, right?
Yeah. One more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
When you have a protesting in the street, as long as you're not throwing rocks, blocking sidewalks and roads and things like that, you give them 5 minutes. You've got 5 minutes, and we're going to use water cannon on you. not rubber bullets or anything like that. I'll guarantee you they're not going to like it. But, you know, I can understand whatever this guy does, Donald Trump, the Democratic Party, I can't believe how dirty they are.
I agree.
I just cannot, and I'm an independent.
Yes.
Sometimes I vote Democratic, depending, sometimes I vote Republican. That's the way it should be.
Yes.
But they're dirty. You know, and Healey, you know Healey?
I do know. Yeah, the governor.
She is such a liar. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was right on the radio, I believe, where she was against the gas coming into Massachusetts and all that.
Yes.
Now she's denying it.
Right.
You know, people are going to wake up.
Well, I think a lot of people are waking up, but hopefully everyone will wake up because, I mean, again, that was Tim Dunn, who used to be the news director here, who's now at the Boston Herald, that caught her. He asked her about it. You bragged about stopping two gas pipelines, aren't you responsible? And she lied to him. I mean, it's really outrageous.
That's right. Okay, my man.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for the call. 508-996-05. Again, journalists are very important. The Fifth Estate, right? They're the other part of government, private sector government that we need, keeping a check on the rest of us. The media, very important. 508-996-05. Kind of open phones, what's on your mind? Good morning, thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
Good, good, good. Hey, I just wanted to sail in on the drug boats.
Yes.
A buddy of mine's son, back in the 80s, was in the Coast Guard out of Miami, and they were always on drug patrols.
Yep.
And the way they worked is they had, I believe, there's stories over the years, there were two fixed wing aircraft that, you know, covered the Caribbean. When they saw a boat that they thought was odd or whatever, or not where it should be, because I guess there's certain areas of the Caribbean water, the boats don't really go unless they're trying to get somewhere.
Okay.
Well, they notified the pursuit boat when it would go out. And every pursuit boat had a helicopter, not the big rescue helicopter. They had this, I think it was called the Dolphin, going like 200 miles an hour. It had a minigun on it, and it also had a 50 caliber sniper rifle, I think, if I'm getting all this info right.
Okay.
So they find the boat and they make it stop. They board it, take the confiscate the drugs, arrest the place, confiscate the boat, and should one of these people shoot at it, it was all over
right
at that point. But he was saying that they would arrest them, send them to jail or whatever, and no one ever came to bail them out. They didn't care. They just sent these peons off of South America, give them whatever they gave them for money, and you're on your own there,
yes,
amigo. But, I mean, that was the thing. He said they did have times where they had to shoot because they foolishly take a pistol and shoot at the helicopter or something, or a rifle, and say, okay,
right,
see you later. But, yep. I mean, it seems so rare that they got to blow them out of the water and then go back and shoot them while they're in the water. I mean, the Germans and the Japs did that when they torpedoed boats. They killed all the survivors that were floating in the water. I mean, that wasn't cool, and right, that was during wartime.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't have any problem with them taking the boat out. But I mean, you get people just floating in the water. I'm a little sketchy on that one.
Well, it does seem brutal, right? In other words, it's not. It doesn't seem right to us. But you know, it is a war, and the only way people are going to take America seriously in the war on drugs, which, by the way, they haven't really taken us seriously in a long time, if ever, in that war, because the drugs keep coming in, is if people lose their lives, in my opinion. And it doesn't look good to us. Because we, and thanks to the call, my friend, as always, 508-996-0. It looks brutal to me. It does, because it is brutal. Seeing somebody killed. But I don't think it's any different than when the United States government under President Trump ordered the strike against Soleimani, the Iranian general who was responsible for so many deaths of Americans, to include many of people that we know here on South Coast that grew up here, that died overseas in the war on terrorism. So I think you've got to, if you want to be serious about fighting drug importation, you've got to kill people. You really do. Otherwise, it's just going to go unabated. The money is so big, so big, that a lot of people think it's worth the risk be involved in it, because there is no real penalty. A little time in jail, they can hire lawyers with the big money they're making. But death, that's an entirely different story, right? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones. What's on your mind? I want to hear about it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. Some of you are flirting with disaster. With that car you're driving, get it over to Mack Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street, New Bedford. Don't flirt with disaster. Get that car ready for the coming cold weather, which really it's with us now. So you got to get that car winterized. So bring it over to Mack Auto Sales. Call and make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. Best way to beat inflation is to not have to replace your car, right? So if you have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. Make sure you tell them you heard it here with me on WBSM, right? So talking about the drug boats, and some of my callers have alluded to corruption in government. And look, many of you are familiar with the story. The fact that our own governor, Maura Healey, a member of her senior staff, was caught with pounds and pounds of cocaine at a state house building, right? There's a building out in Western Mass. They consider it like the Western State House. It's a government building. It was staffed by a man named Mr. Cook. Okay? Mr. Cook. Lamar Cook, age 45. Appointed by Governor Healey. Commended personally by the lieutenant governor. Mr. Cook is currently awaiting trial on trafficking and cocaine charges and an illegal firearm. Now, again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But Mike Keneally, who's a regular here on the program, he's running for governor, has vowed, and you can read all about it. Tim Dunn's got the article in the Boston Herald from a couple of days ago. Keneally vows to release the Cook files. Up to now, Governor Healey has kept under lock and key, behind a curtain, all the files related to her employee, Lamar Cook. Who recommended Lamar Cook to work for Governor Healey? Or did she already know him? Now, my understanding here, and I think Tim Dunn did a great job with this article. My understanding is that one of the state representatives out in Western Mass recommended Lamar Cook to the governor. How did Lamar Cook pass the background check? Because, as has been reported, Lamar Cook was arrested a few years ago for being involved in a near-fatal shooting, okay? He was involved in shooting somebody. And a few years later, he was cleared for a background check by somebody within the governor's office and given a state job to be a top-level representative of Mara Healey, the governor of Massachusetts, to include appearing in public with the then vice president of the United States, who many of you voted for when she ran against Donald Trump. So you understand, Governor Healey hired someone and put him in such a position of profile, high profile, while he was allegedly trafficking in cocaine after he'd been involved in shooting somebody, that he appeared with the vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, when she was campaigning for governor, for president. So you Democrats really should be really angry with Governor Healey for placing a guy like this in such a position of high profile and responsibility that he's representing the Commonwealth with the vice president when she visited the Commonwealth a few years ago. Just outrageous, really outrageous. Republicans are laughing. Unenrolls are curious. But you Democrats should be absolutely angry with Governor Healey. Take a break. We'll be right back. Right? I'm Chris McCarthy of the audience, taking your calls. Kind of open phones. What's on your mind? I want to hear about it. We are reflecting on the drug boats in the Caribbean and trying to come up the East Coast, that the Trump administration has been blowing up. How do you feel about that? Is it necessary? But other than that, we got a lot of other things on the table. Let's go. We got some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
Not bad. Hey, Chris. Now, do you know what happened when this man was arrested? Do you have the transcripts? Was he just accused and let go?
Oh, no. He's being held right now.
No, I'm talking about, before when you said that he had gotten in trouble with, he's accused of being involved with a shooting.
Yeah, he was convicted in that case.
He was convicted?
Yeah. Yeah, and he passed the background check anyway. That's why, it's pretty, and look, I voted for Governor Healey, but because I thought she was more squared away than this, but it's really bad,
Well, I don't know if you want to put it on her, but whoever did the vetting didn't do a good job.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit of an understatement. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. Look, obviously, she didn't do it herself, but she has right. people around her. But she is responsible for them, you know. That's
no, you're right. Who's ever sitting at the helm is the one that gets the head. That's the head that rolls.
Right.
But, you know, I know you're not going to have what I'm going to say, but we have a president that's been convicted 24 felonies. He's our president.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, look,
yeah.
But again, the difference is he got voted in after all that.